We thank our sister Helen for ministering to us in song. It's good to be with you here tonight in Coleraine, and it is always a joy to be able to come down and to open God's Word and to renew fellowship with the folks down here. And we would encourage you to wait and remain after for a cup of tea. It's good to know that Colin has the tea on the boil, and that's a good thing, but it is always good to have fellowship with God's people, and what a blessing that is. And I know some of you have been busy today. I know for maybe some of you this is at least your third meeting, maybe even your fourth. It just depends how it is for you. So we'll say what we have to say very fast and very quickly. I'll take the watch off. And like the little boy, he said to his dad, "Dad, what does it mean when the preacher takes his watch off?" And he says, "Absolutely nothing, son." But I will watch the watch. I look at the watch. I heard a story there of a little boy who went to church with his granda. And every Sunday, without fail, his granda fell asleep. This started to irritate the preacher. And the preacher said to the little boy, he said, "I'll make a deal with you." He said, "If you can keep granda awake in the meetings, I'll give you a pound every time." The little boy says, "That's okay." Sure enough, the next Sunday, granda fell asleep. The preacher looked down and saw the wee boy sitting beside granda. Granda fast asleep. This went on for maybe 2 or 3 weeks. Fourth week, the preacher said, "I'm going to have a chat with this wee boy and see what's happening." He said to the wee fella, he said, "I thought me and you had a deal. Thought Granda fell asleep, you woke him up and I give you a pound." He says, "Aye, we did, but Granda gave me a fiver to let him sleep." So I don't know if there's any here tonight has a deal. I don't know if there's anybody paying you to sleep or if you want to stay awake. But it is good to be here tonight, and we trust that God will bless us even as we minister the word tonight. If you have your Bible, turn with us please to the book of Galatians in the chapter 5. The book of Galatians in the chapter 5, we want to commence to read at verse 16. Galatians 5 and the verse 16. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of His Word. Let's just pray as we come to the Scriptures tonight. Our Father in heaven, we give Thee thanks for this Thy day. Thank you, Lord, even for Thy presence in Thy house today already. Lord, wherever we have worshipped Thee today. And Lord, as we would come now for the closing moments of this service, we pray, Lord, You'll take Thy word and write it upon our heart. We ask now, Lord, You'll help me even to deliver the message You've laid upon my heart, even for this people. Lord, we pray You'll teach us things tonight out of Thy holy word. We pray, Lord, You'll come and present Yourself amongst us. Lord, help us to see a new thing. And Lord, we pray even that we would even examine our own selves even before Thee tonight. So Lord, bless us now as we continue around Thy feet. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Whenever Brother Colin asked us to come along to the youth rally tonight, he asked me if I would consider dealing with the topic of peer pressure. Now you may ask yourself, what is peer pressure? Peer pressure is words that we have become very familiar with. These are words that even I remember whenever I was younger. Whenever I was out and about, those were words that people used even then. And we can say, as Solomon said, there is nothing new under the sun. And sometimes the mistake is made whenever we think that these things are new things. It's not really the case. But peer pressure is the influence and encouragement directed to a person to change behavior, attitudes, or values. And we can honestly say tonight that these are things that all of us come up against in our daily walk. Whenever we hear words like peer pressure, we immediately think of our young people, and we think about the young people of our church. We think about the young people in our families. But peer pressure is something that all of us, in some shape or form, may have to face. But why is it so common amongst young people? Why is peer pressure such a difficulty and such a trial for young people today? It may be the key is because they spend so much time together in a fixed environment. And whenever you think of a fixed environment such as school or university or maybe even accommodation, whenever they are away from home, studying away from home, they're in that closed environment with their peers, with other people their age. And then different attitudes and behaviors begin to change. We could even think of another subject that would develop in such an environment, and that is bullying as well. And then those things can stem into the workplace too. And maybe you're in work today. Maybe you don't count yourself to be a young person. But peer pressure is the influence and encouragement directed to a person to change their behavior or their attitude or their value. And maybe every day where you spend your life, there are people there who they direct things at you and they encourage you and they try and coax you to change your behavior or to change your attitude. Peer pressure is a troublesome problem, and in very rare circumstances it can be a positive thing. Now you said to me, Mark, how could peer pressure be a positive thing? Well, you could imagine if a child goes to a school, whatever age that child is, and that child finds itself in a circle of friends who are determined to do well. You think of children there who are in school and they want to work hard, if they want to achieve much academically. Then your child finds themselves, or you are that child, whatever age you might be, you find yourself in that circle of friends. Then your attitudes will become like them, and you will want to do well, and you will want to do so much more at school. But sadly, we have to say that the most common is the negative effect. And very often when peer pressure comes into our lives, wherever it might be, it is the negative that works. The case is when people, young and old, they want to be socially accepted. We want people to accept us for what we are. We want to be popular with the crowd. We want to be in our circle of friends, not known as the oddball. We don't want to be known as the sore thumb. We don't want to be known as the gooseberry almost. And whenever we especially consider adolescent years, that is a time whenever the young people, they decide to experiment in life. In those young years, those years of youth, they are maybe seeking a new identity. They're maybe not happy with the identity that they have. They're maybe not happy with their upbringing. They're maybe not happy with their parents. They're maybe not happy with their teachings, their upbringing, the circle, the environment that they have in life up until this point. So then they begin to experiment with the new things in life. And very often it is the case when they go to high school or university or even into the workplace, it's then that they are exposed to these new things in life. Things they have never witnessed before, especially from a Christian home, especially from a good home, especially from a good environment. And then all of a sudden, these young people are exposed to these dangers in life. New things. Things they have never seen or witnessed before. So we could ask several questions tonight. We could ask the question, what has peer pressure done to you? Maybe you look back in your years of school or even early years of work and you remember what peer pressure did to you. You remember those things that it made you do. Those circumstances that you found yourself in. Well, I would encourage you today to tell your children. Encourage them. Warn them. Alert them to the dangers that are out there for them. We could ask the question, what could peer pressure do to you? Have you ever stopped to ask yourself, as a young person, what could peer pressure do to me? What could these challenges, these things in life, and the portion that we read there in Galatians 5, from verse 16 through to the end of verse 26, there are two sides of life here. There is a good path that we can choose, and that's walking in the Spirit. That is living the life that we ought to live, especially if we say that we're saved, especially tonight, if we take the name of Christ upon our lips. This is the type of life that we ought to live and strive for. Verse 24, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. These are things that apply to each and every one of us here tonight, those of us that are saved. And then we think of the words from verse 19 through unto the end of verse 21. All of those sins, all of those problems, all of those difficulties that are out there in the world today. Maybe say, well, Mark, my children or none of the young people here tonight would be up against these things. None of the children that I would know or none of the young people that I would know. Or maybe you're a young person tonight and as you look at that list in verse 19 through to 21, those are things that you're not familiar with. Will you take it from me? If you haven't met them yet, you will meet them. You see, peer pressure, it affects two groups of people. It affects the saved and it affects the young. So maybe you're here tonight and you're not young, but you're saved. These are difficulties that we come up against. Maybe you're here tonight and you fall into the two of those categories. Tonight you're young and you're saved. These are problems that you will face. I have no doubt in my mind tonight that the youth of today face incredible pressure. I believe that it is the circumstance of life that we find ourselves in today. As I was preparing this message and I began to research statistics, Some of the statistics are frightening. That's a hard one, Colin. I must have the same teeth as you have tonight. Between statistics and tay, we're in bar. But some of them are frightening. And as a church, the first challenge I would address to the Church of Jesus Christ today is these are real dangers out there that our young people come up against. These are real dangers that some of our young people have become entangled in all down through the generations of time. The difficulty we have today is that sin is very much glamorized in the media. And the media is a big problem. Our young people come up against things in a very difficult way. Some of the statistics that I have selected are 1,000 unmarried teenage girls become mothers every day in the world. Over 1,000 girls get an abortion every day. Over 4,000 teenagers contract an STI. 5,000 teenagers begin to use drugs. 1,000 teenagers begin to take alcohol, and 6 teens commit suicide every day in the world. Now, we maybe begin to examine our own life, and we think, well, I live in Coleraine, I live in Ballymoney, or I live somewhere else, and surely these things can't be really happening in our time. And then you come a little closer and you say to yourself, surely these things don't affect anybody that sits in the pew of our church. Well, I have to tell you tonight that it does, and it will, and it has. There are people that I know, people that you know, and they have been affected in different shapes and forms by these types of things in life. Maybe we don't know about it. Maybe we do. You see, ultimately, the devil wants to destroy our life. And young person, that's what the devil wants to do for you tonight. He wants to destroy your life. And whatever means he has to use, you can rest assured that's what he will use, no matter what it is. I was speaking to a young man just recently, and gambling is his problem. That's his difficulty. That's a problem that he has to overcome. Just a young lad in his 30s, and that's his problem, gambling. Started off online, and then it has spiraled out of control. These are real life problems, and the church today needs to wake up and realize that these are difficulties that our young people are faced with. Today, our young people need to realize these will be problems that they will be faced with, and they need to be alerted to these dangers. Who or what or how should they be alerted? Well, if you think of the older people in the church today, they have walked this pathway before. There are many here tonight older than me and maybe even younger than me, and you have had experiences in your life. Those are things that experience has taught you to be. Proverbs 16 and 17 says, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. Proverbs 16 and 25, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And sadly today, the devil wants to take you young people down this pathway of life. That way to you will seem right. It will seem like the thing to do. It will seem like the choice to make. But that's a pathway the devil wants you to walk down, ultimately to destroy your life. That's all the devil wants to do for you, is destroy your life. Because of the door-to-door ministry that I do in Ballymoney, I meet people every day on the doors to whom the devil has destroyed their life. Between one thing and another, you can name any vice, any sin, and they have told me that on the door. Their life is in a mess. The devil wants to make a mess of our lives. So the first thing we consider tonight is, where does peer pressure come from? Well, first of all, it comes from our friends. How or why can we say that it comes from our friends? It comes from our friends because they are the people who have the most influence on our behavior. The Bible says in Proverbs 17 and 17, a friend loveth at all times. So the first question we ask ourselves tonight is, if peer pressure comes from friends, what type of friends do I have? Young people, ask yourself that tonight. What type of friends do you have? Are they friends you would like to bring in here tonight and have mixed amongst the rest of the people in your church? Are your friends people that you would like to bring home and introduce to mom and dad? Maybe you're a Christian young person tonight. Are your friends friends that you would like to bring in and introduce to the Lord Jesus Christ if he was to stop off at your home someday? Friends. A friend loveth at all times. You see, if someone is really your friend, they won't try and talk you into doing something wrong. If someone is really your friend, they will not try and tell you or encourage you or coax you into doing something bad or sinful or evil or something that will harm you. We could think of boyfriends and girlfriends. They, if they really love you, will not lead you into a path that will bring you into wrong or into danger or into harm. Some of you have walked with the wrong kind of friends. Some of you tonight have walked down a wrong type of a path. Or maybe you're walking a path tonight, and I would like to ask you, what type of path are you walking down? We think of Psalm 23 in the verse 3. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What type of path would the Lord Jesus Christ have us walk down tonight, especially if we're saved? Well, those words, namesake, simply means testimony's sake. So wherever we go, whatever we do, whatever or whoever we mix with, whatever decisions we make, it's for our testimony's sake. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. They ought to be righteous paths, a righteous way. Can I ask you the question tonight? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you saved tonight? Maybe you say to me, but Mark, listen, I'm a young person tonight that's not saved. I don't profess to be a Christian. I'm just here because mum and dad want me to be. I'm only sent to this place. Monday to Saturday, I can do what I want. I can make my own decisions. I can be my own person. Well, the devil wants to destroy your life. And if you go at it long enough, he will. The Bible says in Amos 3 in the verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Do you agree with your friends? The people that you walk with, run about with, the people that you text, the people that you communicate over the internet with, and those are dangers all on their own. We could preach tonight so many sermons from different avenues of this one. We could think of the dangers of internet. We could think of the dangers of communication, all of those things. The devil will use those things to destroy your life. Are you in agreement with the people that you walk with? What kind of friends do you select? Can two walk together, the Bible says, except they be agreed? What about your boyfriend? What about your girlfriend? Will they lead you in a good path? Friend, tonight, if you keep company with ungodly people for long enough, they will lead you and influence you into sin. No matter what age we are. It's true. You think of the simple example of someone standing on a chair. The person who's down below on the floor, they will pull stronger and harder and they will bring you off that chair. And that's the same for the Christian. Some Christians have an idea that they will be able to reach their friends. They will be able to win their friends and bring their friends to Christ. Very often the opposite is the case. The unconverted, the ungodly, the unsaved, they will bring the Christian into sin, into a way that they otherwise regret. Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. We could think also of not only friends, but society and our culture. We see a world around us, and that world directs our thoughts and our intentions and our minds. And we don't know it. We don't realize it at the time, but the things that we see on television, the things that we see on the internet, the things that we see in magazines and newspapers, all of those things, they go into our mind and it governs our attitudes and our perceptions. And today we have to say more than ever before, we are bombarded with images of immorality, of drugs, of rebellion, of violence. We think of movies and video games and internet. And all of those things that we are exposed to now, we didn't really have them to the same extent 10 years ago. We didn't have them maybe 20 years ago. But all of those things now are at the touch of a button. You think of you young people tonight, how many of you have internet on your mobile phone? How many of you have access to the internet 24/7? You hear the familiar story of children going to bed, mum and dad sitting downstairs doing whatever they're doing. And there's an old faithful auntie on Facebook at maybe 20 past 12 or maybe half one. And it just so happens to be that mommy and daddy's fast asleep. And in a phone in bed, somebody's on Facebook. Well, I see smiles across the room tonight. Maybe that's you. And you're not so young. I don't know. But you see what I mean? Do you see the dangers that are there? Do you see the dangers now that are so much more available for us? The devil wants to make it easy for these things to penetrate into our lives. We think of society and culture. We think of these influences that are there. We could think of drink and alcohol. Try alcohol is the call to our young people tonight. We could think of drugs. Experiment with the drugs. Just the soft drugs. Not the hard ones, just the soft ones. We could think of immorality and adultery. We could think of disobedience to parents. We could think of disobedience to God. Think of language tonight. Think of cursing and swearing, using this language to fit in. It's all about pressure. It's all about being acceptable. It's all about being familiar and friendly to those people that we mix with. To be one of the gang. To be one of the lads. Just to fit in. We'll do whatever everybody else is doing. Do you know alcohol? 50% of fatal car crashes involves drunkenness. 50%. Alcohol is not a great thing to have in that case. 64% of murders are associated with alcohol. 1 in 10 social drinkers become an alcoholic. I thought that statistic was frightening. 1 in 10 of every social drinkers then become an alcoholic. I've been in homes where the person is an alcoholic and the home is a mess, their life is a mess. What an awful addiction it is. Proverbs 20 verse 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Young people, don't touch alcohol because of the dangers. Why should you not? Because of the dangers. Think of drugs. 62% of American high schoolers say that drugs are available at their school. I remember when I was in senior school, drugs was right there. I remember one day in fourth year, a girl in my class said, would you like some? Me inside pocket in her blazer. There it was. She knew I was a Christian. I ran about with another Christian fellow from our church at school. She was just teasing. She knew that I wouldn't take it. She was just being big, you see. Being one of the gang. Look what I have. Put it back in her pocket and away she went. And that was a year or two back since I was in high school, senior school. Think of how exposed our young people are. Young people, think of how exposed these things are for you. Alcohol and cigarettes, they're just soft drugs. Eventually the devil wants to bring you on to the heavy stuff, marijuana and heroin and all of those things. Why? Because the devil wants to destroy your life. The devil wants to ruin your life. Think of immorality and adultery. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6 and 18, flee fornication, verse 19. Know ye not that the body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Ye are not your own. Verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Young people, your bodies are a precious thing. Your bodies are ever so precious to be kept for marriage. And ultimately, we don't even belong to ourselves. We belong to God. The Bible says, ye are not your own. You're bought with a price. And if we think of this Easter time, we think of the cross. We think of Jesus who died, who shed his blood that you and I might go free, that you and I might have our sins washed away. He paid the price for our sin. We don't even belong to ourselves. Some young people tonight, they make the mistake in thinking it's their life. And they can live it how they like. They can do what they like. They can go where they like. It's not our own. We're bought with a price. We could think of disobedience to parents. We're all guilty of that one, I'm sure, at some stage in our life. Fifth commandment, honor thy father and mother. Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents. Young people, when was the last time that you were guilty of disobedience to your parents? You ran out of the room, you slammed the door. To use a blunt word, we could say you went huffy. You went into a huffy mood and away you went because you weren't allowed to do something. You weren't allowed to go somewhere. You weren't allowed to have something. Disobedience, rebellion. That's what the devil will use to create a wedge in between you and your parents. And very often that old wrong attitude then, it will set in. Then someone has to come and say sorry. Mum and Dad won't say sorry because, well, they weren't in the wrong. It was you. It was your attitude. And then you won't say sorry. And then there's an anger and a hatred. And then you learn to hate your parents. You see how these things start ever so small? The devil uses these little small seeds of sin just over an argument. Could be over something simple. Like you want to play the PlayStation and Daddy wants to watch Match of the Day. I don't know. Something small. Then it mushrooms into a great big argument, hatred and anger. The devil uses those things to multiply and to grow. Then there's that wedge that comes in between you and your parents. These are things that ought not to be. God recognizes the family as a very important thing. And whenever we think of growing up at age 4, and I have to say this is my own life, although some of these ages I haven't got there yet. I was talking to Colin and he filled me in. Age 4, my parents can do anything. They're great. See, at age 4, they can fix anything. Little car, little lorry, the wheel comes off. My dad's some boy, he can fix anything. You remember those days? Daddy's some boy. Age 4, age 12. My parents don't understand. They're so old-fashioned at age 15. Mum and Dad, you need to get with it. Mum and Dad, you need to just see it through the eyes of a young person at the age of 15. Age of 25. Well, at 25, Mum and Dad has the odd good idea. They've sort of got with it now and they're coming on. 25, they're getting there. At the age of 30, you might go to Mum and Dad and say, Mum and Dad, what should I do? Anything over and above this now, I was talking to Colin. Age 40, I need a chat to Mum and Dad. Age 50, what would Mum have thought? And age 60, what would it be like to talk with Mum and Dad? You know, see how life changes? And here you are tonight, a young person. And I don't know if you're 12 or 15. I don't even know if you're 25. But the devil wants you to disobey your parents. The devil wants you to disregard the fifth commandment. He doesn't want you to honor your father and mother. He doesn't want you to walk in the paths of righteousness that they have brought you up, that they have brought you along to Sunday school and church every Sunday. He wants you to disregard it. He wants you to disobey them. You remember way back in the Garden of Eden whenever the devil came to Adam and Eve? He didn't deny the things that God had said. He caused Eve to question it. And that's a technique I believe the devil uses amongst young people today. He begins to create that element of doubt in the mind of the young person. See, that religion your mum and dad's following after, is it really real? That religion that your mum and dad is so diligent, the prayer meetings and the Sunday services, is it really real? Is that really what you want? The devil doesn't say it's wrong. The devil maybe doesn't even say you shouldn't do it. Causes the young person to question it. And there are so many young people out there, and maybe you're one of them, who question and doubt. We could think of Proverbs 1 and 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. What about disobedience to God? And I know time is really flying on. But you know, whenever we think of disobedience to God, we hear a lot of things from our friends. And they may say something to you like, unless you do this, or unless you go here, unless you have this, you're not a man. Unless you do this, you're not a real woman. And they encourage us and egg us on to do these things. The Bible says in Proverbs 1 and 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Young people, you need to begin to think for yourself. Young people, never ever lose your ability to think for yourself. Because you can rest assured your friends will try and think for you. And they will try and encourage you to go in a pathway that is wrong. Exodus 23 and 2. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Why do we disobey God? Why do we disobey our parents? Because we want to be accepted. We want to fit in. We want to be popular. We don't want to be the odd one out. Maybe it's because we lack confidence. Maybe you're here tonight and you have a feeling of insecurity. Maybe you've started to act like the world. Maybe you've started to dress like your friends. Maybe the odd bad language, the odd wee bit of bad language, maybe on the rugby pitch. Getting a bit heated up, you know, and somebody got the ball off you and you give them a mouthful of words. Just starting to fit in, you see. Just want to be like the lads. Just want to be like one of the boys. No one is exempt from these pressures. But as we finish this message tonight, you said to me, but Mark, listen, we live in a different age. We live in a different time. These things, what about the Bible? The Bible is outdated. The Bible is gone. Well, I want you to turn over as we finish to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, and there we are introduced to a character called Peter. Peter was under peer pressure, if you like, and we can see why. Peter, in verse 54, it says, and Peter followed afar off. Peter was not in the right place spiritually. Peter's spiritual walk was wrong because he was following the Lord afar off. His heart was wrong. And young people, if your heart is wrong tonight, you will find it easier to sin. If your heart is wrong, you will find it easier to find yourself in that place of compromise, because it was the case for Peter. Peter was in the wrong place. He was following the Lord afar off. We sang the hymn tonight, Jesus, keep me near the cross. And I have the words written here, just at this note, Jesus, keep me near the cross. We need to be ever near to the Lord. He was following afar off. Peter was not in the right place physically, because in verse 55, and when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, these were the people that was against Christ and were sat down together. Peter sat down among them. So he's in the wrong place spiritually. He's in the wrong place physically. His company is wrong. Young people, are you in the right company tonight? What about your friends? What about those acquaintances, those people that you mix with on a daily basis? If that is wrong, you will find yourself like Peter. You're in the wrong place. And Peter was not in the right place verbally. Because if you notice there in verse 57, 58 and 60, he was asked three times, woman, I know him not. There's the first mistake. And after a little while, verse 58, thou art also of them. Peter said, man, I am not. In verse 60, Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. While he yet spake, the cock crew. You see, Peter's language was not what it ought to be. And maybe your language isn't what it ought to be. Maybe your heart is not what it ought to be. And if these things are present in our life, we don't know where it will finish. Young people, this is for you tonight. There's even a challenge here for those of us that are a little older. If these things are wrong in our life, if we're not in the right place spiritually, if we're not in the right place physically, if we're not in the right place verbally, our language ought to be that about Christ. Physically, we ought to be found amongst God's people and have the desire to be there. And we could think of the right place spiritually. How is your heart tonight? You know, young people, it's easy to dress up like a Christian. It's easy to play the part of a Christian. It's easy to do it when you know the talk and you know so much about it. It's easy to play that part. But what about your heart tonight? You think of Saul in the Old Testament. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And everybody in this hall tonight, God looks on the heart. And God knows and he sees our heart. Luke 22, verse 62, Peter went out and wept bitterly. He was at that place of regret. You know, the devil will lead you down a path and you'll have plenty of time to look back and regret. As we close tonight, I know time is gone. Proverbs 29 and 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare. How can we cope with peer pressure? You said to me, Mark, all of these things you've said tonight, it's all present in my life. Give me some advice. Give me something to beat this thing. Well, choose your friends wisely. Choose your friends wisely. Choose friends who have the same Christian values. Those friends that have the same influences. Maybe you say, I can't get any friends. Come and talk to me afterwards and I'll be your friend. Maybe it will be lonely. I have to say tonight, there was the odd day at school where it was a lonely thing to be a Christian. And for me, it was even worse, because in my class, I was known as the free P. So I was beat twice. I was Christian and free P. It may be lonely, but isn't it good to be there with the Lord? Choose your friends wisely. What about listening to your parents? If there's some young person in the meeting tonight and you owe mum and dad an apology, you have to go home tonight and say sorry. Sorry for your behavior. Sorry for your attitude. You see, your parents, they know about your struggles. You maybe think they're old-fashioned. Your parents have been there before. And every little step that you take in life, they have walked that path. Maybe slightly different, but they have been there before. Experience is a great teacher. Your parents have been educated at the University of Life so far. What about a sense of worth and value? Young people, learn to appreciate yourself. Don't ever despise yourself. Paul exhorted Timothy, don't let anybody despise your youth. Have a strong relationship with God. And as we finish, I'll leave you with two texts of Scripture. Psalm 119, verse 11, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. And for all of us tonight, if God's word and His ways is first in our lives, our walk will be so much better with Him. Jesus, keep me near the cross. We can beat peer pressure. You see, Peter was beaten by it because the things were not right in his life. And if those things are right in our life, we will beat the peer pressure. I trust God will bless this message to your heart.